Good afternoon. My name is the Reverend Melissa DeRosia, and we welcome you on this third day of April 2016 to Gates Presbyterian Church. A few announcements as we begin this afternoon. This is a good time, if you have not already done so, to silence your cell phones, please. And the deacons here at GPC would like to welcome you, along with the family, to a reception in Fellowship Hall. You'll head out these doors and down the hallway. There'll be coffee, punch, and some goodies available. And if you didn't have a chance to sign the hospitality register or the book, you can also do that down there. Let us prepare our hearts to worship God. The book of John tells us that I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. We come here in sorrow, seeking comfort in those words. We come here in hope, wanting those words to be true. And we come here in trust that Don now knows those words to be true. I invite you into this time of remembrance, a time to honor the life of Donald Bernhardt with our prayers and our reflections, stories, laughters, tears, and most especially, your love. Won't you pray with me? Compassionate and loving God, yours is the beauty of childhood and the fullness of years. Comfort us in our sorrow. Strengthen us with hope and breathe peace into our troubled hearts. Indeed, help us to bless you for the gift you gave us in Don, for the joy he gave all those who knew him, for the memories that will abide in us, and for the assurance that he lives forever in the joy and peace of your presence. We ask this in the name of your risen Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand as you are comfortable and able for the call to worship that is printed in your bulletin. Today is a day for remembering.
It is a day for remembering the Creator of the world, who breathed life into us.
It is a day for remembering the hope that is ours through death and resurrection of Christ.
Thank you.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Our second scripture reading this afternoon comes from the Gospel of Luke. Now on the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. And then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all these things, it is now the third day since they took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning. When they came, they did not find the body there. They came back, told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who had said that he was alive. Some of those who went with us to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they said they did not see him." And then he said to them, "How foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all of Scripture. And as they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us. It's almost evening. The day is nearly over." So he went in and stayed. And when he was at table with them, he took the bread and he blessed it. He broke it and he gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up, returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11, their companions, gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." And then they told what had happened on the road, how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And while they were talking about all of this, Jesus himself stood among them, said to them, "Peace be with you." Peace be with you. The first words that Jesus spoke to the group of disciples with whom he met in Jerusalem on the day of resurrection. A simple statement that summed up all that had taken place. His life, his ministry, death, and resurrection was to show the world a peace they had never known before. Peace be with you. The peace that comes to all of us as we walk together on life's journey. The peace that is God's presence. This is the peace that appeared to two ordinary travelers on the road to Emmaus. This resurrection appearance is one story that captures our imagination as we tell it over and over and over again on the Sunday after Easter. We can imagine ourselves walking along that dusty road. Now, we've never heard of Cleopas or his companion before, and so that lack of information encourages us to use our imagination even a bit further. Many scholars believe that because Cleopas's companion is unnamed, it's actually his wife. I love this image. husband and wife walking along an ordinary road together. The couple had experienced a great deal together over the years. Can you picture Cleopas first meeting the love of his life? That look across the room, a first dance, a stolen kiss. And that young couple would go on to marry and embark upon life's journeys together. So many adventures. And they knew of Jesus and felt called to be part of his ministry. They followed his teachings and learned of his love, and so many ways sought to share that love with those that they met along their road and at their destinations. And they celebrated that love with their family and friends, the good times in life. No matter what the couple faced, they did it together, hand in hand, with Jesus walking by their side. Can you picture them? I can see Don and Louise walking together. They walked together on this road for more than 58 years together. Don was born on February 9th, 1930, here in Rochester, to Margaret Louise and Ernest Bernhard. He grew up in the Dutchtown area with his two older brothers, Ernie and Dick, and then younger sister Margie, another Margaret Louise, to the family. There must be something about this name, Don would often joke with Louise when he came to meet his bride, another Margaret Louise. They met together while working at Taylor Instrument. Apparently, they both sang in the company chorus. And after a late night of singing together, Louise was so bold to ask this young man for a ride home. Before they were married, Don served in the United States Army for 2 years, but not long after he came home, they were married in a little Catholic church near where Louise grew up. So for a short while, there were quite a few Margaret Louise Bernhardts living under the same roof until Don and Louise would go on to purchase their house in Gates. They would welcome two daughters, Janice and Carol, to the family. Don worked for 35 years at Taylor Instruments in their test equipment department with engineer design. And after his retirement, he would spend another 12 years with the Gates Chi-Lai School District working security. I'm going to imagine quite a few of you here today remember seeing his face, especially at those football games, a place he loved to be, especially when he wasn't coaching them. Now, anyone who knew Don knew how much he loved sports. From swimming and football in high school to semi-pro football in the 1940s and 50s, football on an army base, and as an official for the city of Rochester in the 70s. Would go on to coach freshman football at Gates Chi-Lai for 25 years. And you would think with all of that time that was his only sport. But he gave many, many, many years to also playing softball. Many here with the church softball team. And when he wasn't playing, he was never far from the bench coaching the team on. And sports brought so much joy to Don's life, but nothing could ever mean more to him than his family. His face would light up anytime he talked about Louise or his daughters. Grandchildren. And when I asked Janice and Carol how they would describe their dad, simultaneously they said, awesome. He was the kind of guy that everyone wanted as a dad. Apparently, kids from the neighborhood would come knocking on the door. Can Mr. Bernhardt come out and play football? Don had this wonderful, sincere, gentle way of making sure that those around him knew that they were loved. And the stories he told, the jokes that he'd make, the smiles he offered. He wanted nothing more than the people around him to share in the joy and peace he knew and felt in his everyday life. In knowing Don, I'm reminded of the words from the author Frederick Buechner, who said that sacred moments, the moments of miracle, are often the everyday moments. The moments, if we do not look with more than our eyes or listen with more than our ears, reveal only a garden, a stranger coming down the road behind us, a meal like any other. But if we look with our hearts, if we listen with our being, our imagination, what we may see is Jesus himself. And these ordinary moments become sacred. Sacred moments along life's road. And these are the moments when we experience the peace of Christ. Sometimes we have to look with more than our eyes and listen with more than our ears. Sometimes there is more to knowing than understanding with your intellect. Sometimes, unexpectedly, the touch of a beloved's hand, a hug from a grandson, a familiar song like Bad, Bad Leroy Brown, the threads and grooves of a football, a shared meal at the Delta House. These become the means of grace, a sacrament, a promise that the Holy is present, that the risen Christ is with us. We had the opportunity to experience the love of Christ in all the ways that Don shared his love with each and every one of us on his life journey. And although he is not here physically to walk with us, we are assured in the resurrection, Jesus continues to walk alongside Don and each and every one of us when we share in his love. Peace be with you. Amen. And this morning or this afternoon, his daughters would like to share a few memories with us.
So many memories, tough to pick just a couple to share. We asked Dad's younger sister, Margie, to share some fun memories from when they were kids. My favorite that she shared was when they were kids, Dad was on the high school football team. At some point, a doctor determined Dad had a heart murmur, so the school wouldn't let Dad play. He got very depressed. His parents felt so bad, eventually they offered to help him start his own team. They convinced local businesses to sponsor them, and the Dutchtown Merchants football team was born. This team was truly a family affair. Dad's oldest brother, Ernie, was the medic. Middle brother, Dick, was the coach. Margie came to the games with their parents and carried the medic bag. Ernie had the car, and he drove many of the guys. Lots of the players' parents didn't even know about the team until a guy got hurt and the hospital called the parents. Grandma would wash all the uniforms for the guys and hang them out to dry. The team went on for years, with eventually Aunt Margie's husband, Eddie, joining the team. When we were kids, Dad was awesome about making things fun. He would help us set up camp in the backyard with our neighbor friends. He'd sit through many garage dance recitals. He'd make costumes out of all sorts of things, always being creative. He always loved sports and was stuck with two girls who were less than athletically inclined. Luckily, the next generation were boys, which more than made up for it. He also loved playing cards, euchre, poker, golf, and fruit in the basket. He enjoyed board games, bocce, charades, and the dictionary game. We'd play with family and friends who were like family. Camping was another big love. For years, summers were spent camping at nearby campgrounds and at Lake George. More recently, the last 20 years were at Sun Valley. He loved to walk around for hours, shooting the breeze with his friends there. Campfires, talking guy talk, fixing stuff with his coffee cans full of parts, and hours of cards were all things that he really enjoyed. After years of playing umpiring and coaching many teams, in his later years, he settled in reluctantly as a spectator. He enjoyed watching Steve, Ryan, and Ty play hockey. He loved watching Zach progress through the belts in karate. He was very proud of his grandsons.
At a church ball game a couple years ago, Dad came to the game with us. Mom chose to relax at home with the usual, "Thanks for taking Dad for a while." He shuffled to his chair on the field and settled in to watch. Well, the umpire didn't show up that day, so Dad volunteered to ump. He shuffled up to home plate, and Jan and I decided prayer was appropriate. We prayed very hard that no one would run into him, and by some miracle, our prayers were answered. Once the game was done, the harder part came. Do we tell Mom? After much debate, deciding she would hear about it anyway, we did tell her. She was pretty calm, considering. He was very loved, a father figure, and coach to many. And we've appreciated all the kind words and messages the last week. In closing, I'd like to share a poem entitled "Silent Strong Dad" by Karen Boyer. He never looked for praise. He was never one to boast. He would just go on working for those that he loved the most. His dreams were seldom spoken. His wants were very few. And most of the time, his worries would go unspoken too. He was there, a firm foundation through all the storms of life, a sturdy hand to hold in times of stress and strife, a true friend we could turn to when times were good or bad, one of our greatest blessings, the man we called our dad.
Thank you. Let us pray.
O God, before whom generations rise and pass away, we praise you for all of your beloved children who, having lived this life in faith, now live eternally with you. We thank you especially for your son, Don. We praise you for the gift of his life, his sense of humor and his kindness, for the grace that you gave him. Thank you for Don's commitment to his family. We are grateful for the courage and love he gave to his children, the laughter and good memories he shared with his grandchildren. Loving God, hold and sustain Don's family as they mourn. Almighty God, give us faith to see, beyond touch and sight, some sure sign of your kingdom. And where vision fails, help us to trust your love, which never fails. Give us all faith to see in death the gift of eternal life and resurrection, so that even in mourning we may continue our travels on earth, until by your call we are united with those who have gone before us. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
Thank you.
such a reminder, singing that song, that God has given us life, and through Christ we have been given new life. So we now commend Donald Bernhardt to God's merciful care and the faith of Christ our Lord, who died and rose again to save us, and who now lives and reigns with God and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And friends, may the peace of God rule in our hearts, so that whatever we do in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God through him, now and always. Alleluia. Amen.